specifically these 10 days and this year, now, this time, this new year that we're in, Tav Shin Pei Aleph. There's an incredible outpouring of Torah in the world, and Hodu Lashem Ki Tov. It's an amazing, amazing time to live in and to have so much access to Torah. So we already know and feel the power of there being so much Torah accessible day and night. And some words that Rabbi Simon Jacobson said on this topic said that the Talmud tells us that in these days, every individual is granted the power of a group of 10. So really each of us, that doesn't mean that you literally are a minion, but it does on a certain level. Each of us has the power of 10 people just as an individual. So it's 10 times power. And the Rambam puts it this way, saying that although tshuva and pleading are always effective, during these days, during the 10 days of tshuva, they are especially potent and immediately accepted. And as it says, search for Hashem when he is present. So Hashem is with us. Hashem is with us in these times. And usually when it's a hizdamnut, a time of great opportunity, it's hard to catch it. So I'm blessing us all to catch it. And everyone who's here learning today, you're catching it. So we should be really pleased with this and put into practice whatever it is that we're learning. The Kabbalists say they termed these 10 days that we're in, the 10 days of tshuva, the days of rebuilding the kingdom. So what is rebuilding the kingdom? The kingdom is malchut, right? And malchut is kingship. So we think about it on a grander scale, that there's a king and there's a kingdom, but we can think about malchut on a personal level as well. What does it mean, malchut, on a personal level? That a person, no matter what has happened to a person in their life in recent times, throughout all of life, no matter what, there's a part of you that remains intact, majestic, dignified, totally connected, like a king or a queen on a level of royalty. And part of why I wanted to call this little talk From Darkness to Light is because on many levels, we can find our way out of the darkness and into light. There's on a personal level, whatever personal specific trouble, challenges that we might have to work through. On a collective level, Bein Adam L'Chaviro, the way that we relate to other people, which is the next subject we're going to step into. And then Bein Adam L'Makom, between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which between us and God, which hopefully we'll get to before the end. So we're going to start talking about between us and others, Bein Adam L'Chaviro. And specifically, I wanted to focus on this during these times because we have this concept, we're right before Yom Kippur, and really it's actually an amazing thing. Yom Kippur is a day of cleansing. Hashem forgives us. We know it. It's written. We're told. It's like a fact. We just need to show up even a little bit, and the more we show up, the better, but we're forgiven by Hashem. And one of the challenges that's not on the same level is between us and other people. If a person hasn't forgiven us, we need to get their forgiveness. We need to ask them for forgiveness, bring up whatever issue might still be between us and ask for forgiveness and get them to say mochel three times to actually be forgiven. And this is a big challenge when there's a conflict between people, as we know. That's one of the more difficult things to step out of. Everyone has their own personal stories. And so I want to share a couple of teachings. This is from one of my favorite books, is Exodus, written by Rav Shalom Brath. Alav Shalom. It's beautiful teachings. It's on, if anyone has the Sefer, it's on page 259. And this is, so really what is the answer to making peace between people? Is really moving forward towards Ahavat Yisrael, learning to really love each other. And obviously we first need to love ourselves to love each other, but we need to step into this subject, as uncomfortable as it might be sometimes. So I'm starting inside the book now. There's a famous story in the Talmud about a convert who came to Hillel and said, convert me on the condition that you teach me the whole Torah while I'm standing on one foot. Famous story, everybody knows. right? The convert wanted him to convert him on by giving over the Torah on one foot. His question is usually considered to be silly or flippant. However, the Sfat Emet gives a deeper explanation to the convert's question. There's a midrash that says, Emet yesh lo raglaim. Sheker ein lo raglaim. In the midrash it says, truth has feet to stand on, and a lie doesn't have 2 feet to stand on. According to this interpretation, the convert was really asking Hillel to convert him on the condition that he would be able to teach him the Torah in such a way that the convert would be able to live and fulfill it in the world, in this world of one foot. Meaning, right, where give over the Torah on one foot doesn't mean like from this deeper interpretation from this Sfas Emet and this Midrash, it doesn't mean give me one line that I can go on and work on my whole life. It means standing on one foot is that this world is a world of lies, and I want to be able to live a life of Torah. That's what this world is like. I'm continuing to read. The term one foot refers to this world of lies we live in. In the world, in the word emet, truth, which is written aleph mem tav, all three letters have bottom bases that sit firmly on one solid line. They each have feet. They have more than 1 foot, 2 feet, so they're steady. However, the word sheker, lie, is written shin kuf resh. All the letters of the word have points at their bases as opposed to straight lines. What's more, the letter kuf drops down below the other letters. Hence, it's standing on 1 foot, like one little point. Since our world has so many lies, we live in the world of 1 foot. So then, what was Hillel's advice? He told the convert, that which is hateful for you, to you, do not do unto others. That's the whole Torah. The rest is commentary. Now go and study. In other words, Hillel was telling the convert, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, love your neighbor as you love yourself. Hillel's response to the convert's deepest question is that an individual cannot stand up against the lies of this world alone. It's only by connecting with all of Am Yisrael that we can push away the lies and live a life of truth. We must love each other if we wish to navigate this world and reach our goals and destinies. So this deeper interpretation of this idea of, yes, we should love one another, but this loving one another really binds us together and makes us a klal. It makes us united. And so facing the sheker, the lies of the world, as a group bound together, we can make it through with the Torah and with truth. Okay, so I'm going to share another story from the Talmud. And this is another one of my favorites. The rabbis taught, a person should always be pliable as a reed and let him not be stiff as a cedar. Right? We have to be very flexible. Once it happened that Reb Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, was traveling home from Migdal Gedor, from the home of his master, riding on a donkey along the riverbank. He was very happy and also haughty, for he had studied a lot of Torah. He happened upon a man who was particularly ugly. Shalom, peace upon you, Rabbi, said the man. But he, the rabbi, Reb Elazar, did not return any blessing to him. Instead, he said to him, empty one, boar, how ugly you are. Are all the inhabitants of your city perchance as ugly as you? He replied, I do not know. However, you should go to the artisan who fashioned me and tell him, how ugly is this vessel that you made? Immediately, realizing that he had sinned, Reb Elazar descended from his donkey, prostrated himself before the ugly man, saying, I confess and submit myself before you. Please forgive me. The man said to him, I will not forgive you until you go to the artisan who fashioned me and tell him, how ugly is this vessel that you made? Reb Elazar kept following the man until they reached his city. The citizens had come out to greet the rabbi, Reb Elazar, blessing him. Peace be upon you, Rabbi. Rabbi, peace be upon you. Shalom aleichem. The man asked them, who are you addressing as Rabbi? Rabbi, they said, the one who's walking behind you. So the ugly man said, who are you calling Rabbi? He said, the one who's behind you. He said to them, if this man is a Rabbi, let there not be many like him in Israel. They said, why? Why do you say this? Why do you reply like this? He told them, the rabbi has done such and such to me, what he said. So said they to him, nevertheless, forgive him, for he's a great Torah scholar. So said he to them, for your sake, I will forgive him. However, my forgiveness also depends on the condition that he should not be accustomed to do likewise again. Immediately, Rabbi Elazar, the son of Rabbi Shimon, entered the Beis Midrash and taught, a man should always be supple as a reed and not stiff as a cedar. Therefore, the reed merited to be used in writing Sifrei Torah and tefillin and mezuzot. So it's a very deep story, actually. And we have, you know, on the surface level, we have the situation where obviously a person shouldn't speak badly about another, and then taking it to the next step when someone was wronged and they were told, please forgive me, I'm sorry, to forgive them, which is also difficult. But on the deeper level, the name of this little section that Rav Shalom called it, to be supple like a reed, to be flexible. Because I'm sure we all have, you know, can take a moment and think about a situation that's not so simple between us and other people. And it's hard to be flexible. When we think we're right, we don't want to move. And the truth is, the way that I like to think about it, which I think this story really reflects, is that we get really over-focused on our own stories. And we get very over-focused on, we're sure that we're so deeply focused on our own details of our own story that we forget to zoom out and take a look at the bigger picture and realize that our story is just one little tiny detail of a much bigger story of everything going on in the world at this moment, of everything that's gone on in the world in all of time, and that Hashem has a plan, and that we're one detail in it. And the way that one person interacts with me, and I might take it personally, is one detail, and I might not understand simply how to forgive this person. But if I take a step back, I have some pliability. I'm flexible. I can see, well, there's obviously something more going on here. This is not just about the way that I look at the story. And then we can forgive each other. So I'm encouraging us all, and I'm encouraging myself, while I encourage you as well, to delve into one or two or however many challenging situations that we have. Maybe there's someone that it's been hard for us to forgive, or there's someone that we want to forgive us, and it's hard to ask them again, or ask them even the first time. And to take a step back from our personal holding on tight to the personal experience of what it's like to feel wronged or to have wronged somebody, and zoom out a little bit and do it anyway, and be pliable. Be flexible and take that step to ask forgiveness and also to give forgiveness, to let it go a little bit. Okay, here's a practical application of V'ahavta Lecha Kamocha. When it comes to living in this world, holiness finds its ultimate expression in the mitzvah, V'ahavta Lecha Kamocha. You shall love your fellow as you love yourself, I am Hashem. Who is this fellow, this neighbor that the Torah is talking about? So this is Rav Shalom speaking, writing. On several occasions, I've asked students to listen to me recite the verse with closed eyes and envision the face of a person they consider to be the fellow. So you can think for a second, you can close your eyes if you want, and think, love your fellow as yourself. Who is that person? Who's the fellow? Who's this friend? Then I would ask if the person they thought of was in the room. So we're all now on Zoom. In a sense, we're in a room together. We're on a virtual room together, but we're probably not in the room with many people, if anyone. But in general, usually, almost always, the answer was no. You're sitting in a room of people when we used to get together and sit in a classroom together, and there's a whole group of people around us, people we know, family, friends, and you would say, V'ahavta Re'acha Kamocha, who is this Re'acha, who is this friend, fellow? You would think of someone who's not in the room. The implications of this are interesting. Rav Shlomo Zatzal taught that the fellow of the Torah, that the Torah commands you to love as you love yourself, is the person who is currently beside you. Love them for no reason except for the fact that they are part of the oneness and thus part of you. But is this possible? As it goes with most mitzvot, the fact that we are commanded to do it means that it must be possible to accomplish this within one's lifetime. Hashem does not ask us for the impossible. By putting such love and awareness into action certainly requires a lot of work, joy, humility, and true awareness of Hashem and one's higher self. How do you really put this mitzvah into action? There are a number of different opinions. The Tzemach Tzedek in his Sefer Derech Mitzvotecha offers a realistic and practical explanation of this mitzvah. Each one of us knows that we're not perfect and we make mistakes. Yet we usually tolerate our mistakes and imperfections and still love ourselves, at least to the point that we do not refuse ourselves pleasure, kindnesses, and or self-love. For example, if I say something unkind to someone or fail to accomplish what I determined to do in a given day, I won't punish myself by abstaining from dessert or the pleasure of listening to good music. Likewise, says the Tzemach Tzedek, we're obligated to accept our friends with all their imperfections and mistakes and shouldn't refuse them our kindness and love. In order to further understand this mitzvah, let's examine it in its context. A few verses before, we're commanded to love our fellow, we're given the commandment, Kadoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokecha. You shall be holy, for I, the Lord, your God, am holy. Hashem wants us to be holy. So we come before Hashem and tell him that we would like to be holy. However, the Satan steps in and says that we have no right to be holy due to the many transgressions we've committed. And he starts to list them. So then we say to Hashem, please let us be close to you in spite of our mistakes, because we really want to be close to you. Please forgive us and help us fix our ways and amend our wrongdoings. Please overlook our past and judge us based on who we are now. Or rather, judge us based on who we can be, based on our hopes and aspirations for spiritual growth. Otherwise, we don't stand a chance of being holy. There's a very sweet Hasidic reading of this mitzvah, which breaks up the sentence differently. V'yahathru lecha kamocha ki ani Hashem. In the same way that you love your fellow, so too I, Hashem, will love and treat you. Kamocha ani Hashem. In this way of reading the verse, Hashem is saying, I'm like you, right? So we can relate. Hashem is telling us, if you want me to overlook your mistakes and love you so much that I simply forgive and accept you, treating you with kindness despite your imperfections, then you must treat your friends in such a way. If you can do it for others, I will do it for you. It's important to make a deep assessment and determine whether you really believe in tshuva, the ability to return to Hashem, and most specifically, your ability to return to Hashem. If you really believe that past mistakes and wrongdoings can be fixed, and you can once again be one with Hashem, if your desire is holy and real, then apply the love, compassion, and forgiveness you seek from Hashem with your friends. Demonstrate that tshuva is your truth, that you abstain from hating your brothers in your heart and don't bear grudges or seek to take revenge. Love your friends as you love yourself. Then you will merit similar treatment from Hashem. Okay, so a little dose on forgiving one another, loving one another, and see how we're doing on time. Okay, not much more time. So I'll do this part outside because we don't have a lot of time. But I wanted to bring up now again, moving towards the direction. Now we talked about Ben Adam and Chaviro, major tikkunim, and I bless us all to have the courage and strength to take the steps necessary to let go what we need to let go of and ask forgiveness for who we need to ask forgiveness of, and just listen deep inside, because it might pop up in your mind, you know, or in a dream during these days, during these powerful days of where 10 times power. Think of someone we haven't thought of for a long time. Think of a situation that we went through that we haven't thought of for a long time. It's probably an opportunity to connect to make a connection that needs to happen, and either forgive or ask for forgiveness. So now I'm jumping to some teachings from Reb Shlomo. I'm sure many of us, if not all of us, are familiar with the story of the great fixer, right? So we know from the prophecy of Amos that he says there's a great hunger in the world. There'll be a great hunger in the world. The hunger will not be for bread or for water. The hunger will be to hear the word of Hashem. So we seem to be very obviously in these times, and that there's such a hunger for connection with Hashem. And so then the question is, how do we get there? How do we make this fixing? Because if we're hungry for it, we must still need it. We must still be seeking it. So it's Rav Shlomo says here, what is the greatest fixing of the world? What is it that the world needs most, even deeper than love? If I tell you I love you, it's very cute, but it won't fix you. What we need is utmost joy and bliss. We mamish need joy, as simple as it is. And naturally, it goes without saying that people who hate don't know what joy is. So this first level of clearing our hearts of hatred and letting go of sadness is connected to the story of the great fixer. So I'll say B'Kitzur without telling the whole story inside, that there's the king of sadness in the world and a great fixer. And the king of sadness loves that everything is sad and terrible. And the fixer is constantly, no matter what happens during the day, finding something good to do during that day, and then having a feast at the end of the day and celebrating life, giving thanks to God, saying Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, because life is so amazing and so awesome. And the king finds out that this fixer is in his kingdom, and he's very upset because he likes sadness. He doesn't want it to go. So he changes the laws in the town so that whatever the job that the fixer was doing, he's no longer able to do it. He's out of work day after day, job after job. This happens again and again and again until the fixer comes to the point where there's no more jobs. He's not able to do anything, and he has to join the army. And he gets a certain amount of pay, and he wants to get it every day so that he can make his feast. And the king outlaws that. You're not allowed to get paid every day. And then he basically pawns his sword in order to make a feast, one of the final days of the story. And then the king finds out, and then he gives this great fixer the job to execute someone who supposedly deserved execution. So the fixer did he no longer had a sword. He had a pretend sword. He had a sword made out of tin foil. So he's still with this positive attitude of saying at the end of every day, at the beginning of every day, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov, God is so good. I'm showered with the goodness of God day after day, to keep that consciousness, to keep consciousness of gratitude, of seeing the blessings that are showering down on us every day. Set in this mindset, he kept finding solutions. And in this situation, he was standing there with the guards all around, with his fake sword in his hand, and the person who was supposed to be executed in front of him. And what is he supposed to do? So he says that he declares that how do you know that this person is really guilty? And I declare to the God of the universe that if this person is not guilty, that my sword will turn to tinfoil. And he takes out his sword and turns to tinfoil, and they let the person go. And he constantly finds the answer. So that the idea behind this story, the most important point behind this story being, what is our attitude? What is fixing? So let me see, I have a moment here, 3 minutes. So a couple more words from Shlomo. So he says, that I want to share one more thing with you. Imagine if the absolutely most sick and incurable person in the world would be well for one day a year. What would happen? He would make it. Because you know what happens to people when they're incurably sick, when they can't walk or move? They think to themselves that they can't do it anymore. But if they would see that for one day a year they can do it, then they would realize that yes, they may need fixing, but it's possible. If you want to cure and fix a person, the first thing to do is to make them whole again for 1 minute. So I want to give us a blessing. In these very, very interesting and extra challenging times, it seems like generation after generation, the times have been challenging one way or another. So we have our own version of that in these days. And I want to bless us to see the good in ourselves and to see the good in each other and to be brave to make amends and to step back from our own personal over tight grip on our own story and realize that there's a bigger story going on, and make amends between ourselves and others. Ask for forgiveness and give forgiveness, and also fix our relationship with how we look at the world. Fill our hearts with joy, look around and find what to be thankful for, say it out loud what we're thankful for. And it's, if we're 10 times power during these times and we're saying to Hashem, wow, I'm so grateful that I have this incredible community of women to learn with. I have these incredible teachers all day long, teaching us Torah's unbelievable, amazing situation, incredible organizer, Judy, unbelievable, amazing, amazing times that we live in. These it takes tiny, tiny little steps of saying what we're thankful for, 10 times, 10 times, each of us doing that. So this, it's going to bring the geula, and we're so close. We all know it. We all feel it. So I bless us to take those little steps and to keep our attitudes positive and know not only that Hashem is forgiving us, that we can forgive ourselves and we can forgive each other. And everyone should have a gemar chatima tova. It should be the best year yet in geula shelema. And thank you so much for including me in this incredible day of learning. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Beautiful.
Thank you for being included in this wonderful day of learning. I love you. Always have beautiful Torah, and you also have some always have wise advice to share with us. Which you know, this time of year and this tkufa that we're in, it's
beautiful.
Thank you.
Okay.
Can hear you. Can hear you, Judy. You died out at the end.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. Okay, is Rabbi Mervis with us? Okay, we'll take a break, a short break, and I'll go find out where Rabbi Mervis is.
Judy?
Yes?
He knows not to go to Sharidina?
That's a
key question. Daber b'chanich mados. Bado.
Mervis is here. Baruch Hashem.